This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to your later than usual, the Scarf Bergara War podcast on this Wednesday evening with me, Russ Johnson, and I'm joined by Waggy as always. You all right, Waggy?
Yeah, not too bad. We might as well do it at 9 o'clock because this week's just been screwed up at all. Totally, hasn't it? Playing Thursday night, playing Monday night. You know, Jordi Atta did his away day show at 5:15 on Monday evening. Yeah. It's just all over the shop. So we can't have just done it at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 5:15. 5:15 kickoff on a Saturday as well. It's like that time before between Christmas and New Year, when you just don't know what time it is. Yeah, I know. It's doing my head in as well. Good evening to everybody that's watching and listening. Phil Lloyd, Ian Dowd, and Nick Ten. I'm sure the other regulars will pop online if they're not in bed already. So yeah, apologies for the 9 o'clock start. We've got the usual pack show though for you tonight. We're going to talk about the Salford draw, the Crawley draw. We've got an MK Dons opposition preview. We're going to talk about the running. We've got some stats for you that we've nicked off other people, including Waggy. Waggy's been at a spreadsheet. We've got getting reses, and we've got our fan guests to bring out. We'll bring out very shortly. Before I do any of that, I've got to announce that Jim Gannon event for the co-op is still in the planning, so please keep an eye out for that. And the co-op are still looking for volunteers for a couple of appointments that I can't remember the name of. I'll mention it next week, but they do need those volunteers. So if you fancy getting involved in the co-op and doing something good for Stockport County fans, then do let them know, and they are available on their website, which can be searched through Google. How about that then? So let's get our guest out. Okay, so our guest, I've got his details this time, actually. Where is it? Right, our guest, his first game. So this gives you a good idea of how old people are. That's what I find. Anyway, I'm just a nosy bastard.
Or how old we feel.
Generally. Or how old we feel. Yeah. First county game was Carlisle away in March 1996.
Ooh, first game away game. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I wonder. We'll have to look that up and the scorers and stuff. Unless this fan guest remembers. Favourite county goal. So he split this into two spells, and he'll explain why later. But his first spell, favourite goal, John Hardiker, second against Man City, which, incidentally, Tuesday was how many years?
Well, 21. A lot. 21. 2002, wasn't it?
So that's 22 years then.
22. So yeah, it's 2024, not 2023, isn't it?
Yeah. Second spell. Ash Palmer equaliser against Bolton. So I know which transition to use. There you go. That makes it easy for me when I bring him out. Favourite player, first spell, Tony Dinning.
Oh, yeah. Good choice. Yeah.
Strong choice, yeah. And second spell, Ben Inchliff.
Yeah. Still there. Still playing.
I know. Yeah, we'll ask this fan guest if he's ever met his hero, Ben Inchliff, and what did he think of him. So, without further ado, let's bring out our fan guest, which is Tom Fletcher.
Evening, gents. Hello. How are you doing?
Evening, you okay? That transition audio is of Palmer scoring against Bolton.
You can hear the thud off his head, can't you?
You can hear the thud, of the net. Many people won't believe us, but it definitely is. I've got it on good authority that it definitely is. Okay, and see, normally at this point we bring out the opposition guests, but what I'm going to do is going to leave that till later, and we'll actually go in chronological order, I think, tonight, which is probably a first for us since forever. So yeah, let's.
I'm not used to this. That's like organisation.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird. You know what it is? It's because I don't like to get them on and have them waiting, or don't like to say, "Oh, come on at quarter to," because we might be in the flow of some other conversation. So I just try to get them on, get them off, then we can carry on talking. Yeah. Good stuff. So, Tom, let's just have a bit of a chat around your choices first, I think, just to get to know you a bit better. So, first game, Carlisle away. Right, I've not looked it up. Didn't Paul Ware score an absolute peach at Carlisle away?
I was five, so I'm struggling a bit to recall the detail, but apparently County won 1-0. He's not said this, my old man, but it stinks of my old man saying to my mum, "Oh, Booker's a weekend away in the Lake District when County playing Carlisle away," and he sneaks off and takes me, which I very much think probably happened.
Good lad.
There is nothing wrong with that. I've took my family for a weekend away to Cleethorpes, and County been playing Grimsby away, so you know, I'm with your old man there. And Southend, we've been to Southend away.
So promotion, we can get Blackpool, can't we?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's carry on. I don't know. I'm going to look that game up as we continue. Favorite County goal first spell, John Hardiker. I mean, yeah. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
It was just a good, it was a great game, wasn't it? And just everything about that goal was perfect. You were obviously bombing forward and Palmer got the, Palmer came in with a tackle and give it to Andy Welsh, I think, wasn't it, on the left-hand side. And even just the finish, obviously carries his run on straight into the Cheadle end. It was perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And around that time, I think it was about 11 or 12. So obviously at high school and a lot of City fans at school and stuff. So it was absolutely spot on, obviously going back into school after that, even though we'd been relegated. So
yeah.
It sort of made that sort of not really matter that much at that point.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it
quite a while, haven't we, at that point as well. So
yeah. I'd got a couple of lads that I worked with who were City fans, tickets in the Cheadle end. And I just said to them, just be quiet. When you score, just be quiet. Because it was like, you're going to beat us. Like, you know, you was thinking it was going to be like 3-4, 5-0, didn't we? Because they were 10 points clear, or was it a bit? They were basically champions elect, weren't they? And we'd just been relegated at the weekend before. Is it at Wimbledon? I think it was. We got relegated the weekend before.
I know we got relegated at Wimbledon because Cooper played for him at the time, didn't he?
Did he?
All right. Yeah. Because didn't he go to Wimbledon from us?
I can't remember. But I remember going into the day after, because I think it was actually like upper tier three that had got them tickets because they were the only ones available. And I went, that's where all the singing and everything goes on. So just be careful.
taking town traitors into the home end. Fun fact about John Hardiker, because he's from Preston. I used to live in Preston. I was called Preston Hatter on the old yellow board. That was my first handle. I only lived there 4 years while I was working. And his parents live around the corner from me because they saw my car with the Stockport County thing in the back. And they offered me, like, do you want to go to away matches? Come with us to away matches. And I didn't take him up on the offer in the end. I should have done, really, shouldn't I? Because I wasn't going to every away match at the time. I was working and things. And then I actually saw John Hardiker on a night out and spent the night out with him. I went to a club. It was weird, man. Him and his brother. His brother's an Everton fan. That's all I remember from that night. It's very, very blurry. But yeah, John Hardiker. Strong choice, mate. Strong choice. And then you got Ash Palmer. We've covered that. I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? That one.
It was like the redemption on it from the own goal as well. And
it was
everything about it was at the Cheadle end. And even just looking at that footage back now, it's like you sort of relive it again, don't you?
Yeah.
Could just like transport it back there, which I suppose the beauty of goals are.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'll live long in the memory, that one, won't it? I think we it was just proper limbs in the all over really, but especially in the Cheadle end. Yeah.
Even in the main stand, there was limbs.
Yeah. Oh, was it? I was going to say. Yeah. Brilliant. That's the name of the podcast, Prosthetic Limbs. and then favourite player, Tony Dinning. I mean, yeah, I'm not even going to say, is that for the City goal? That's just because it's Tony Dinning, isn't it?
Yeah, he was just class, wasn't he? And around that time when I first started going as well, and he was just a real class act, wasn't he? And obviously took penalties as well, which when you're a kid, that's probably one of the most exciting moments in a game when you're, you know, a really young kid. And you know, I think he scored most. You know, I don't think he very rarely missed, didn't he? So.
Yeah.
And he scored and the celebration against Weaver at Main Road was quality, wasn't it? So,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then Ben Hinchliffe, have you met Ben Hinchliffe?
No, I've got a bit of a Hinchliffe story because my old man had a bit of an accident and broke his ribs, and I know Steve Bellis a bit, and I mentioned it to Steve that this had happened, and then. Probably about an hour later, I got a video from Ben Hinchliffe saying, you know, to my dad, just saying get well soon and all that. And I sent it to my dad, and he was still in hospital at the time in intensive care. And it really perked him up. And I thought, you know, it's great. It says a lot about him, I'm sure, as a person. He comes across as a top bloke, and says a lot about him and a lot about the club as well. That, you know, Steve didn't have to do that. And it really went above and beyond. And I think that's the difference, isn't it, between supporting, you know, County and supporting someone else.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many stories like that, isn't there, around the club and stuff over the years and things like that as well, so.
Yeah, we do really well in that respect, don't we? And we need to, you know, when these people at the club have moved on for whatever reason, we need other people to come along and be that, you know, be that community spirited, don't we? And take that on. So it'd be interesting to see who does that. Just looking at some of the comments coming in, all the usual people have now joined us. Cheers for that. We've got a Forest fan. Don't know why. Ranga up the Forest. Yeah, cheers, mate. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers for that. Okay, so let's move on to the football for ourselves then. 2-2 away at Salford. I tell you what, I don't know. Should we do it in chronological order? 2-2 away at Salford, then move on to Crawley, or is the synergies with both games? Poor first half, decent.
Well,
half.
Yeah, pretty much the same. Apart from Crawley, we weren't 2-0 down at half time.
True.
There's so many cliches about the Salford game, in there, you know, Jekyll and I, game of two halves, that you could just spend 10 minutes churning out, and it was like that, wasn't it? And I think that for. The first goal was obviously a great strike, in it, but nine times out of ten that ends up in crumps, doesn't it? And it's sort of a bit unfortunate. But if you give someone that much space, you know, 25 yards out, you're asking for it a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, as you say, he'd probably never score a goal like that again in his career, will he? It was just an absolute sensational strike. So, but yeah, I mean, Salford first half, we tried to play like Salford, and we just got battered. We just got Salforded.
Yeah, we got Salforded. we don't do very well against these teams that go long, are physical, play for the throw. Yeah, you know,
Matt Smith, as you say, I think you said it on the club call, and I think pretty much everybody said it for the second goal. It's not Matt Smith's going to win the header. Doesn't matter who you put up against him, he's going to win the header. So it's winning that second header,
yeah.
And that's just what we didn't do. And why did we have Paddy marking the other the centre half?
Yeah,
that just seemed a bit of a mismatch as well. So yeah, we just got out Salforded.
The warning signs were there pretty early on, weren't they? As well, like, yeah. I think I walked in the ground after about a minute of the game, and exactly the same as the as a second goal. Just I don't know if you recall, but he was just on the other side. Diagonal ball, Smith wins a header, nods it back across, and there was no one there, to be fair.
Yeah.
But the warning signs were there early on, and that was obviously how they'd set up to play. Well, it was obvious before the game, wasn't it? But
yeah.
Yeah, we struggled with it, didn't we? Can we all just agree that it wasn't Swaz on the first goal? I'm not saying he sliced it, but he hit it with some spin off the outside of his left foot.
It certainly moved, didn't it? It curled.
Yeah, it curled. It didn't move in the air. It curled, didn't it? So
yeah,
because I think somebody mentioned Swaz, and I'm like, no, you cannot have Swaz in this business. So yeah, so you went Salford then, did you? Nice. What was the feeling? What was the feeling amongst the fans then at the Salford match? Disappointment, or we got a draw? Great, let's move on to Crawley.
There was probably quite a few sort of emotions, through the evening, but it's a lot of frustration and in the first half, obviously, and sort of a lot of relief, I suppose, towards the end. I mean, would you have took a point before the game? Maybe not, but you certainly would at half time, wouldn't you? And,
yeah.
It's a challenging evening. You know what you're going to be up against. But they went about it much better in the second half.
The
substitutions changed the game, didn't they? And,
yeah.
Richards came on and injected a bit of pace and was a bit more direct in the sense of running at the Salford defenders and created a lot more space, I think, for everyone else.
Yeah, I was impressed with Richards. I said it on the courtyard club call for the Salford match that he seemed to handle, I won't say the occasion, but certainly the physicality of the game. So he was coming out of maybe 50-50s or 60-40s with the ball and then releasing someone for a counter-attack, that kind of thing. So I was really impressed with him, and I thought he deserved his start against Crawley as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Kane as well, he looked good and composed, didn't he? He was able to take the sting out of the game when he needed to and just keep hold of the ball and just look for a pass and stuff like that. Then he looked, and his crossing and his corners were pretty decent.
It's an area we've been lacking as well, isn't it, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Cass very much looks like a centre-half playing right-back rather than, a right-back playing as a right of a three. And we've really missed, haven't we, Salvin Males?
Yeah.
It stands out so much how much we're missing him. Hopefully, Kane can slot in though quite nice. Like you said, his set piece delivery looked decent as well.
Yeah,
he took a corner in the second half at Salford, and I thought he's hitting that. I'm getting this, and I was like 10 rows back, and then he's dropped right under the goalkeeper. It was a great corner. So hopefully that's something that we can exploit a bit more.
Mm.
Well, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, well, and he'll only get better as he gets match fit. I mean, he's been playing for Manchester 22 in Gibraltar, I think it is.
Yeah, but I think he left there in January, didn't he? So I don't think he's
did he? Right, oh, so he's not. Yeah. Right, so once but he gets up to speed.
He's been training with us, haven't he? When they announced it, they said he's been training with us for a few weeks, so he shouldn't be far off. I mean, yeah, as I say, he'll be fit, but as you say, it's just that the next bit. The next bit would be match fit rather than just fit.
What did you both think of Wootton's performance in the Salford game? Because I saw that he was copying a bit of flack on Twitter, but it was a real challenging game. I thought he did all right. Obviously, he was involved in both goals.
Yeah, I think for the last few weeks, I've thought Wootton, his first touch has not been, he's not been good for holding it up, but I think we seem to be. And again, we sort of talk about the Crawley game. They were playing it more to his feet against Crawley, and he was said to be sticking, whereas it seemed to be a bit further up his body when the body ball was coming to him. But I think the way that referee was, it's just the way, they seemed to... He wasn't going to give free kicks away, was he? He was getting pretty much... he was getting manhandled most of the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. Gives as good as he gets, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he definitely gives as good as he gets. He just doesn't get any free kicks, does he? Oh, well, I think the referee did the obligatory one free kick either per half or per game, and I think he did the same for Matt Smith, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, though, Waggy, as soon as he went into his feet, You know, we create the first goal, don't we? It goes off back off to Madden. It's like textbook stuff, isn't it? Get it into the striker's feet and, you know, get people around him. And it works really well in that phase of play.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some comments coming in. Let's see what you think about these. Just going, sticking with the Salford match. A couple of people, but Phil Lloyd says, someone sat behind him said Hinchcliffe should have saved it. I mean, come on.
No, because as you say, the way it started, it goes to his right, and you see Hinchcliffe move to his right, and then it just goes completely the other way, and he just goes, oh, I'm not getting that. There's no way. Yeah. And it did. You know, it was, even if he'd have dived, I don't think he'd have got anywhere near it.
I think it always looks worse when the goalkeeper doesn't move.
Yeah.
He just, you know, like you said, it's probably not, you know, he's probably getting nowhere near it. And it's, you know, it's a one in a season, you know, not even that.
Yeah.
You know, one in a 5-season strike. But he does look bad when the goalkeeper doesn't go for it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you said you were a goalkeeper, Tom. Yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a goalkeeping coach. So for me, I'm thinking it's quite far out. So you set, aren't you? But you're probably not expecting the shot. And I don't know. I'm not looking at it back, but was there somebody in front of him maybe blocking the trigger?
I wasn't directly behind it, but there was a lot of bodies, weren't there? There was a lot of bodies there, and it's he's done quite a few things except Swaz. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd be more inclined if it was Challoner to be wondering why he's got that much space and time.
Yeah.
25 yards out rather than criticising Hinchcliffe. But I suppose he won't carry much weight, that, as I've said, that he's one of my favourite players. So
No, I like it. Others coming through. Great news that Noyle being given the all clear to play. So just answering that right back thing. Noyle, I think, what was it, 2 to 3 weeks away, maybe?
Did he actually say? Did he say how long it'd be? He just said he was given the all clear, so he's not.
I don't know if I've read that somewhere, or is that, have I read it on Twitter because somebody said it? That's probably what.
I don't think he said. I don't think he said it in the interview. That when he'd be back, I think he did say he'd been given the all clear. So as you say, you don't know how much training he's been able to do, because obviously I know that head injury, he's not been able to do any heading at all. So just wondering if he has kept up some sort of fitness. So again, as you say, it's just getting him up to that match level of fitness. But hopefully that'll make a massive difference. It sort of gives us a bit more of relief on that, on the right-hand side. And Kane can also play left back, I believe.
He can.
So maybe maybe we can rest somebody and take a bit of slack from him, or take a bit of flack off him.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, County 1883 said that earlier on. So the amount of stick Toure gets is terrible. Lad needs the fans behind him, not on his back, knocking his confidence.
I think he played well at Salford, and obviously he got his goal. And I think he did play well against Crawley, apart from that one mistake. But it was a bad clearance. But I think we still had the opportunities to be able to get rid of that. I think Pye missed a tackle and Horsfall didn't go with his man. So it was just, it was one of them. It's a catalogue of errors, isn't it, for the Crawley goal. But it's because it's Toure that if he'd have cleared it, then there wouldn't have been any issues. But it's not just his fault, but he was the one that got singled out.
Yeah. What do you think of Toure, Tom?
I was really glad to see him get a goal at Salford, because he's clearly a lad who really just needs some confidence. And he's obviously a good player. He was in the League Two team of the year, wasn't he? And been around at this level for a while and represents his national team, and he's clearly a good player there. He's just really lacking in confidence, and I was really hoping that, you know, after that goal, I said to my godfather who went to the game with, I was like, I really hope he kicks on now, and that does him the world of good. But he spent a decent amount of time playing at the left side of a three, hasn't he, as well, which isn't a position that he played in that I know of prior to the season. So that's a bit of a challenge there for him, isn't there? But it's, he just needs that bit of confidence, doesn't he? And I was hoping that he'd be able to kick on a bit after Salford, but hopefully he's not copping too much flack for for Monday night, because like you said, like he's just it's a catalogue of errors, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, moving on to Crawley, I mean, it can't be. I wouldn't put it down to him if I was in net, if I was in his defence. I wouldn't put it down to him. He's made, okay, half a clearance, let's face it.
Yeah.
But he's been there and he's cleared it. I think a few minutes before, he was the one stopping a cross, wasn't he? That their lad potentially would have got ahead of, you know, would have had a free in at the goal. So lots has happened after that to get for them to score the goal, hasn't it? You know, from him clearing it. So it's unfortunate, yeah. Don't like to dig players out. Absolutely don't like to dig players out. He does get a lot of shit on social media, though.
Yeah, it started because of the beginning of the season, wasn't it? He's being played as a left centre back, and Challoner has come out and held his hands up and said, you know, it's my fault. It's not Torre's fault. I thought he could do a job there, and he wasn't comfortable. And you know, as you say, teams seem to see that and pick up on it and pinpoint going after him. So, as you say, that it's obviously a knock-on effect from that, isn't it? So, fans have got on his back a bit, and then you know he's not had a. We thought he was going to go away to the African Nations, you know, hopefully clear his head, have a couple of games there, and then come back a different player. But I don't think he had a very good experience at the African Cup of Nations either, did he?
No.
Played in the first game, didn't play again, didn't he? And then wasn't there something with the aircraft, one of the planes?
That was before it all started, though, wasn't it?
Before the plane down the way, right?
Yeah,
he's definitely lacking confidence, isn't he? Because obviously playing down that left hand side, he's up and down the touchline, close to where I sit. And he'll get to a point and then he will play it back to the centre half, or he'll play it. Back to Hinchliffe, and I think I'm sure that's a confidence thing, isn't it? When you look at Pye, he's just come back into the team, and obviously, clearly, a real, really confident lad at the moment. The way he plays through the lines is brilliant, probably better than any other counter defender, to be fair. But you can see that confidence there, and he's got that confidence to be positive and try and get a ball into the striker or to find a runner from midfield. But it's almost like, you know, he's Torre thinks that, oh, you know, if I give the ball away here, it's just going to get worse. The main staff's going to be on me or whatever, so I'll play it safe, sort of thing.
Yeah, but I think the last two games, he's looked more forward thinking, hasn't he? He's not turned back as often. He's tried to get forward and tried to get them crosses and stuff. So, as you say, maybe it is. But again, he's better away from home because he's not getting as much stick.
Yeah, maybe. Possibly. Here's a question for you. If Rydell's fit from the start of the season, does Torre get as much of a look in as he has done?
When I can't imagine. So when was he signed? So was he signed after Rydell was sort of written off for the season?
No, I don't.
No, I think they were starters at the start. They started at the start of the season.
Yeah, one Rydell at left wing back and Torre as the left centre back.
Torre was going to be the left centre back, wasn't he? Yeah. Which would have been that'd have been bad, wouldn't it? I mean, because I don't think that's not his most comfortable position. He got into the League Two Team of the Year playing left back, didn't he?
Yeah.
I saw a video that the club released recently. I think it was it might have been footage of because Madden ticked over 50 goals a few weeks ago, and the amount of assists coming off the left hand side. I think it was that video with the Madden goal with all the Madden goals. But the amount of assists coming in off Rydell on the left hand side is. I didn't quite appreciate that until I saw it all in chopped into a short video. I think we've really missed him, and obviously Salva Mayo's on the other side. Must be a nightmare to defend against if you're setting a team up to play against County with Salva Mayo's on one side and Rydell on the other.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then Rydell and Maka really, but if we stick to the left-hand side, Rydell, he often crosses it in full flight, doesn't he? And it's a really, really good cross, and he's getting beyond the defender going forward, thinking positively. Whereas Torre's, like we say, Torre's more of a, oh, no, I'll come back. I wouldn't say take the easy option, but he never seems to look to go beyond the defender. He's always...
Yeah, as you say, he's a defender. He's a proper defender, isn't he? Whereas you say Rydell is a wing back, more so that he wants to get forward and get them crosses in and like overlap and stuff. So
yeah. Okay, Salford. Then I mean, good goal from Tanto. I don't understand why people don't rate Tanto personally. That's my personal opinion. But I think he's pretty good. Me.
I don't think he would have scored that last year.
Because you think he'd have thought about it too much?
Maybe. I think he's just come on so much, hasn't he? He's clearly playing with confidence. And he had an awful lot to do. I think it was only when I watched it back I realised how deep he actually put that ball up.
Yeah.
But, the defender was all over him, wasn't he? And he showed a lot of strength and composure. Yeah. And it was a great finish.
Yeah, he held off. I think it was Tilt, wasn't it, at the time? Scored the second goal for Salford. Really good goal. Okay, on to the Crawley match then, which is a bit fresher in our memories from Monday. What are we saying about that? I mean, we've covered the Torre clearance and the equaliser. What positives can we draw out of the Monday match?
Okay, I think it's the second half, isn't it? and the positive is the second half. The first half we were just too sloppy. Everybody just seemed to be. It was simple passing that just seemed to undo us. I don't think they were. I think they looked good at passing out and beating the press that we were doing in the first half. But then they just didn't seem to have the product. Once they got through that initial press, they'd get a ball into like sort of the centre circle area, and then they didn't seem to know what to do with that. And it seemed to, or we'd get an interception, but then we'd give the ball away, or it'd be a bad pass. And so I think the first half, I think they look decent at playing the ball out. You know, they were pinging it everywhere, weren't they? And then they finally found a ball out. But apart from that, I don't think they were that threatening. I know Maguire had that glaring. The glaring header that we just completely missed, and then there was obviously the two mistakes from Hinchcliffe at the beginning, kicking it against the player's back, which fortunate that it dropped back to him, and then the rush clearance that gave it to their lad on just on the halfway line who fluffed his lines and put it out for a throw. if he'd have had a bit more composure. With an open net, he could have either took a touch and hit it, or I think there was two or three players sort of more in the middle that he could have passed it to. I think that was... We were just too loose with the passing, I thought, in the first half. We just didn't look... We didn't look on it.
Do you think they were a little bit too direct as well? Because I was looking at it and I watched it on the stream, but... were they getting the ball into Sarcevic and Kamsa's feet enough, or was it sort of bypassing those lads? And like you said before about going into Wotton at chest height, could we have played through the lines a little bit more, especially with the team that was starting with Kamsa in that as well? I was surprised to see because Evans has been out of the team now, hasn't he, for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I thought that he might start, unless he's had a knock that I've not known about, but I thought that he might start that game, especially because Bailey was quite quiet against Salford.
Yeah,
I think we did, but I think there was obviously a ploy because Alafi played on the left, didn't he? In the first, certainly the first 15, 20 minutes, he was hugging the touchline, wasn't he? And you could see two or three times we put the ball out to him there. So obviously it must have seen something. Challenger must have seen something as to do that on purpose, because he sort of put Richards out on the right-hand side, didn't he? And I think we said about I can't remember which game it was, maybe the Newport game, where they had...
This is the home game, isn't it?
Yes,
So Crowsdale, yeah, he swapped Crowsdale and was it Evans maybe? No, not Evans, I can't remember, but to cut inside and bring the ball in rather than go on the outside, yeah.
So you've seen that, but then I think when we came out, like the second half, he switched Richards and Alafi over, and I think both of them played so much better in the second half than they did in the first half. And I'm just wondering if they'd have done that a little bit earlier, maybe it would have changed it for the first half. It's difficult to see, but it definitely made a difference. Someone said about the subs as well, if that contributes to the goal.
I was just going to come to that. So, Neil Warburton mentioned it. That's another elephant in the room. That's been doing a lot on socials, the subs. You know, and I was not name dropping here, but I was on BBC Radio Manchester with James Jennings and John Kieran, and I was asked post-match about the subs, and I said, well, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, because you're winning 1-0. Do you protect the lead, go five at the back and invite the pressure, or do you either stay with what you've got or change like for like, or even go attacking and leave potentially space in behind, because they were getting on top of us anyway. So either way, the guy who was presenting said to me, it's funny you should say that, because he asked the same thing to Pep Guardiola, because he covers City as well. And Pep Guardiola says, they're always good substitutions when they work and bad when they don't. You know, it's like, obviously. You know.
Yeah. I thought it was quite surprising to see, as soon as we scored, was Paddy come on for Richards. I thought Richards was having a good game. He didn't look tired, but you can understand. I think it was always going to happen, Paddy coming on for Richards, because, you know, as you say, 1-0 up or whatever, Paddy just gives you a bit more composure and stuff, doesn't he? And he can slow the game down. He's got a good touch. He's got a good pass and stuff like that. And then they made a couple of substitutions, didn't they? And basically looked as if they went to a 4-3-3, I think it was. Or they were almost like a 4-2-5, weren't they? So I think that's why he bought Burn on, because they were starting to get some pressure. And then he said in his post-match, didn't he, that 5 minutes after that, Kane turned around and goes, oh, I think I've tweaked something, I need to come off. So we've only got one more opportunity to make a change. So that's why he had to make the two changes to try and get Evans on and stop Alafi getting injured as well, because he was tired.
Yeah.
So yeah, as you said, every substitution is brilliant if it works, but it was just...
What do you think, Tom? Would you have stick or twist? What would you have done?
Well, in my many years of Football Manager experience, I probably would have.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Gone for the twist, and I probably would have tried to secure things up, especially he's come out in his post-match interview, hasn't he, and said that there was a few lads that needed to come off for fitness-wise, and they played on Thursday, and there's a few tired legs, so he's, like you said, he's probably pre-thought out, especially the Madden one. So you can see the logic behind it, and it's such a fickle game, isn't it? County go on and win. It's a great decision. It's frustrating, isn't it? That you almost feel like County did all the hard work. They did all the hard work, and I think one of the main things I came away with was a bit of frustration, really, because it's, you know, it's, and they didn't really look like creating much, did they? So we've gifted them, gifted them a point, really. And I was chatting to my dad about it afterwards, and he said a point away is never a bad result, but he felt like it, right?
Yeah, it did. I think the difference was as well. I think when we went to 2-2 against Salford, I think we sort of took the foot off the pedal, didn't we? As if we was like, all right, well, we're back to 2-2. We're all right now. We're happy. Whereas against Crawley, you could see there was still the impetus was there to try and get a second. Even though we'd got the first, you could see that we still pushed on, which I thought looked different and better than what we did against Salford. And it was just unlucky that we didn't go 2-0 up. If we'd have gone 2-0 up, then it's done and dusted. But as they say, the cliche is dangerous at 1-0.
Always dangerous at 1-0. Always dangerous at 1-0.
It was good to see County making the most of set pieces as well. And you know, I think that's an area that's been lacking a bit, hasn't it? And I was trying to work out when the last time we scored from a corner was. Obviously, Cam scored that volley with his first touch, didn't it? A month or so ago, but before that, I couldn't remember.
Now you're asking, yeah.
I assume it was Ash Palmer, but I don't know.
Yeah, but hell. Yeah, and it's funny because we don't for all of Fraser Horsfall scoring 9 for Northampton, all corners or whatever. We just don't seem to score from corners and don't have that aerial threat, do we? It's
weird. I can't remember the last time that Horsfall headed a ball from a corner.
I'm glad you added that end bit. Right.
No, you say, we seem to try and put it to the back post. He hangs around the back post, but we just don't seem to get the ball to Horsfall. So I don't think you say, for the corners. For the corners.
For the corners. What I'll do, I've just made a decision. What I'll do, I'll upload the opposition review with Jamie Harris from MK Dons after this, because we're on 40 minutes already. We've still got to do the running and getting reses, so I think that's going to take at least 20 minutes. So it's a 30-minute video. So I'll upload that separately, something separate you can watch in your own time, and we'll put it in here. Horsfall's a weird one, isn't it? But I think, someone, I was about to say this, someone must do this. Do you really do that? County in 83? Do you really put a tenner on him every week? I'd have stopped after about 3 weeks, mate, if he'd not scored.
You've got to look at what the odds are, haven't you, for him to get. Is it any time scorer or is it first goal scorer? I suppose that's the odds would be different for that, wouldn't he? If it's an any time goal scorer and you're still getting 28-1 or something like that, then you've got 28 weeks for him to score. To go out even, haven't you?
There speaks the man who bets a lot. Impulsive gambler in the house.
I've got it under control.
Yeah. Right. Shall we have a look at some of the running stuff? I know that Clive from some Mansfield Town podcast that I can't remember, Clive. I do apologise, but I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember, but Clive's watching. Nobody else is, I don't think, apart from that Forest fan. But he's got nothing to do with it, has he? So let's have a look at this this running data for the audio listeners listening back. We'll try to explain this as much as we can. If I can share my screen, just give me a second. This is where the technology fails me. Clearly, there we go. So there we go. Let me get rid of the old overlay. Can everybody see that? That's really hard to see, isn't it? Let me try and improve that a second. This is like being at work, this, being online. Can you see that? There we go. Okay. Make your screen bigger, guys. Everybody make your screen bigger. Right. So what this is, it's predicted final table, only the playoffs apart from one of the tables, but based on points per game from the last 4, points per game from the last 8, points per game from the last 10, points per game from the last 12, there's the current standings, and then there's predicted based on points per game all games. Now, friend of the show, Mark Brockbank, created this for us. And we've got another one to go through that was created by Waggy. You'll be pleased to know. So everyone's turned off now, aren't they? Bored as shit at this.
Far too much time on our hands.
Yeah. I mean, points per game is, I mean, obviously it's very, very rudimentary, isn't it? Because Mansfield, points per game, might just go on a losing streak. They might go on a winning streak. This is football we're talking about, isn't it? So let's just take it all with a pinch of salt, but it's quite fun to look at.
It is, but you can see the difference there, can't you? And just going on points per game, last four, Mansfield are at 1.5. The last eight, they're at 1.88. The last 10, they're at
2.10, yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's like, there you go. You look at the last 10 games, it's like, yeah, Mansfield are going to walk it. But then you look at the last four games, it's like, oh, well, they've only got 1.5. So, as you say, yes, very much a pinch of salt. But it's...
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So Mark gave me a summary of this, and it made me shudder. He basically said, no matter what happens, it looks like, based on all those PPGs and PPG or games, it looks like we have to go to Wrexham and get something.
Yep.
Yeah. Tom, how are you feeling about that?
Oh, it's very... you went very Kevin Keegan there, Russ. But, I mean, I've had some bad experiences at Wrexham. I missed my own housewarming to go to Wrexham away, and obviously we got beat.
The FA trophy.
Oh, my wife was absolutely fuming as well. She'd planned this big do, and I went to Wrexham and I came back and we got beat, so it wasn't even worth it, really. But yeah, so I'm not very good.
Did you just come home and kick everybody out?
Oh, I walked in and just said, look, just give me 10 minutes, will you? just give me 10 minutes on my own. it's interesting, this, because if I think looking at County's fixtures, we've got the bottom three, haven't we, as well? But then you look at that and think they're going to be scrapping. I've had a look at all the fixtures, and out of the last nine, there's only Notts County and Accrington that aren't going to have anything to play for.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't really play in the teams at the top or the bottom, do you, at this point? How many points do we reckon we're going to need? It's talking 14, isn't there? Or 14 or 16.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be fair, if we get 16, that's 84 points. That wins it 3 years out of the last four, which is frustrating. But still, if you look at those, if you win those two games, Notts County away and Accrington at home, the two games that we're playing mid-table teams, they're the third to last and second to last. So hopefully they'll all be on holiday at that point. I mean, that gives us 10 points from 7 games. So you'd back count to get 10 points from 7 games, wouldn't you? So we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. I think Saturday's obviously massive, isn't it? No.
Yeah.
Saturday's the big one, isn't it? Is it
must win or must not lose?
I think it's must not lose.
Good question.
I think it's must not lose. If we win, it's brilliant, because that again gives us that cushion, doesn't it? We've got three games in hand, haven't we, on NK Dons? But if we lose, they go above us, and I think we potentially drop to fourth, I think, don't we? If we don't get a draw, or if we don't win on Saturday. So I think it is a big one. I don't think it's not a must win, but I think it's a mustn't lose, judging by the other teams that we've got to play. I think
yes, but right, great, that's great. Mustn't lose. Say we draw it on Saturday. I think the internet will stop
working. All the bedwetters will be out. They'll be calling for challenge then.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so if we don't lose on Saturday, go on, Russ. You was before I rudely interrupted you.
No. I was going to say the internet will stop if we draw on Saturday if we don't beat MK Dons. And let's face it, MK Dons, since Williamson was appointed, they've won the most points in League Two since his appointment. They are one of the form teams. They are really good. They were good when we played them at Stadium MK. They were really, really good. And Alex Gilby in the middle there, I'd love him to be at County. He's a class player. They're going to come. I won't give anything away from the little preview that I did with the Oppo preview that I did with Jamie, but they play like us. So they, if we, you know, they're not long ball, they're not I won't say physical. They probably are physical, but we play into their hands. I think is the bottom line there.
But do you not think that we play better against teams like that?
Yes. It'll be a cracking match on Saturday, but I think we've got to win it.
teams that come at us want to play same as us. I know we're not in a rich vein of form. We're off form and stuff like that. But if a team comes to play against us that plays like us, I think generally we're a better team than them. We tend to be better than them. And I think defensively, we've been a lot better since Crewe and Tranmere, haven't we? We've apart from the first half of Salford.
Yeah, in the last bit of Crawley.
I think we've been better at the back, and I think Kane coming in, I think that's made it a better on that side. You know, see what we can do if we are going to stick with a back four or if we go with a back five.
We've looked better since Pye come back, haven't we, as well?
Yeah,
gives that balance, obviously being left footed as well, which is nice.
Yeah.
Who, if anybody, are we expecting back from the physio room, from the physio table this weekend?
Crowsdale and Powell, I think he said. He said they'll be in contention. So, hopefully, yeah.
He makes a big difference, Crowsdale, doesn't he? He goes so under the radar.
Yeah.
I think he's sort of in the sort of talk around the sort of man of the match in the little section where I sit is just talk for who's played better than Crowsdale. Crowsdale's man of the match if someone hasn't played better than him, and he's just, you know, so solid. And he was odd to see him because he had a couple of games where he wasn't great. But he was odd. He stuck out because of, you know, how consistent he usually is, and the injuries obviously killed us, haven't we? And I had a quick look through the amount of games that players have missed. And I went through the first, you know, roughly around lads that would be in and around the starting 11. They've missed a total of 157 games, and you know, combined, it's bizarre, isn't it? And
that's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's ruined, yeah. Isn't it? I know there's an injury table, isn't there, for the Premier League? I wonder if there's one for League Two. You know, how many days...
I don't think you'd fit it on an A1 piece of paper. Because we've sort of said it, we've talked with a lot of away, you know, away supporters, it seems that every team has had an injury crisis at some point, at least at one point in this season.
Yeah, but ours has been constant, hasn't it?
Yeah,
we've had points where we've not had an injury crisis, haven't we? You know,
you look at like Premier League teams and stuff like that, they've had a lot of injuries, and there just seems to be, for whatever reason, this season, there's been a hell of a lot of teams with a lot of injuries. It's just a weird one.
Yeah,
you'd like to hope it's bad luck, wouldn't you? Because of, you know, County have obviously got a massive backroom team, and you know, a lot of physios and performance analysts and this sort of thing. So you'd like to think that it's just a fluke and just one of those things. But
yeah, certainly in the beginning of the season, there wasn't many sort of, as they call it, impact injuries. Was there? There wasn't many injuries that were happening, or when it was like South Mayles, one of his was he just went over on his went over and on his ankle, didn't he? And that was it. And he got stood on at one point. You know, it was just, yeah, it's just been ridiculous the amount of injuries that we've had. And if we hadn't have had them, we'd have, you know, I think we'd have had it near enough wrapped up by now. And I know hindsight's a marvelous thing and all that jazz, but just you look at the strength, the squad strength that we've got. If we'd have had everybody fit, I don't think anybody would have touched us the first 11 or second 11.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, if we'd have had anybody fit, it'd be a completely different story. Right, take us through this one then, Waggy, because this is yours. And I think I know what you're getting at here, but go on, briefly take us through what we're doing here.
The last time, so we look in September, we played Crawley at home and we drew 3-3. And up to that point, people were calling for Challenger's head, saying that we were shit, we were out of our depth, we're going to be fighting relegation. So we look at the seven games before that, and I admit there is two cup games in there, one against Man U under-21s and Chef Wednesday. But we won one, drew three, lost three. Drew against Crawley, and then we went on a 12-game and we beat and run after we drew with Crawley. So you look at our results this time for the seven games before Crawley, and we won one more and lost one less. So in effect, we are better this time drawing against Crawley than we were last time. And then you look at the nine games we've got left. You look at the results that we've had with them and the big, well, in the season so far.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And then you look at, of those nine games, five of them were teams that we played in that 12-game unbeaten run.
Excellent. Tom, so, does that fill you with more confidence that the next nine games, we won, in eight of them, we won the reverse fixture?
Sure, it's going to be no problem then. So it's, I often wonder if we weren't County fans and we were fans of a different club, who, you know, are we just, is our stock sort of mindset like, oh, we're going to cut this up? Or, you know, but I think it seems to be
that way, doesn't it? Yeah, I think it's as you say, you hear everybody saying it's never going to be easy, because that's not the County way. That's you hear that all the time, don't you? We're not going to make it easy because that's not the County way.
No,
if there's no jeopardy. If there's no jeopardy, it's not County. So unless it goes to the last game of the season, then it's not, you know, we can't have it all wrapped up.
It'll make for a more interesting end of the season, Randy, won't it? It'll be good redemption for my ruined housewarming party.
Yeah. There's always a personal angle, isn't there? I love it. Yeah. Clive Parkins just mentioned these. He said, you've got it won. Well, yeah, I mean, phew. Yeah, I think we have with these stats, Clive.
Definitely. I'm always a glass half full. So I got to look at the positives.
Well, that's it. I think we've shown two elements here, haven't we? The first one was points per game, which all says we're going to finish second based on points per game, and we've got to get something from Wrexham away. So that's a negative view. This one, when you look at these statistics and this data, there's nothing to say that we are not capable of winning those football matches, because in eight out of nine of them, we've already beat that team once before this season. So that's a positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
The pressure is going to play a big part, isn't it? Just, you know, they're clearly second in the league for a reason, aren't we? You know, we've been on a huge unbeaten run for a reason. It's just a bit of confidence and belief. And obviously injuries haven't helped, but the squad's unbelievable, isn't it, really? So
yeah,
I think it's not been able to field the same 11 as well. I think he's changed formation quite a few times, but we're not playing the same players in the same position for every game. I think if we'd have had a consistent 11, I think that would have made a difference as well for the last couple of months. But we've not been able to do that, because, as you say, it seems to be we get one back and we get one out, or we get one back, two out. That just seems to have been And none of them seem to be niggles, do they? They don't seem to be out for just a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah,
everyone seems to be out for 5-6 weeks, don't they? Minimum. Yeah.
There'll be lots of twists and turns yet as well, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
We're sort of assuming, aren't we, that Mansfield are just going to win every game. And
I don't think anybody wants to win it. I think everyone's trying their best to fuck it up.
when you look at the fixtures as well, you know, all the teams around us have got tough games. They're all playing teams down the, you know, in and around the top in the playoffs. I think that just says a lot about the way the shape of the league is. You know, these teams down at what 10th and 11th that are well into the playoff spot.
Yeah, and they play well as well, don't they?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's so tight. There'll be loads of twists and turns, I think everyone will be there'll be an awful lot of sat at Edgeley Park, sort of keeping an eye on flash score, won't they? Seeing what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah. 100%.
As I say, though, you can't even ignore that, can you? Because I've turned the track. Don't look at my phone. Keep my phone away, and then I'll look at half time. But then you look around, and somebody in front of you has got flash score up, and you're like, "Oh, Wrexham are winning!" Or, "Oh shit." So you just can't get away with it. Where's it gone with the guy with the little radio next to his bed?
I'm just about old enough to remember that, to be fair. They're always in the corner, the way near the back.
Good stuff. Right, should we get on to getting reses, because we're on an hour now and we've not had the Oppo preview, which will be a separate thing. So time flies when you're having fun. Right. Yeah, another cliche. If you don't like them, sod it. Right, let's go getting reses.
Reses. Get in the reses. Get in the reses.
I'm not having that.
Get in the reses.
Getting reses.
So, Tom, you said you had one. So, oh, you said you had two, actually.
I've got a couple. I don't know if I can have two.
Go on, because if you have two, because when you come back on, I hope you will come back on. You'll have more then anyway, so because that's what football does to you.
Well, the first one's quite a personal one that probably isn't something that a lot of people have, but it's aimed at the fellow who sits behind me, to be fair. And he just shouts send it the whole game. And I've tried to move away from him. I've tried to like shuffle down the row a bit, and he seems to just follow me, this guy. And I spend most of my Saturday morning thinking, I hope he's not there today.
you should not be feeling that about the football.
But he's we've got some great players, haven't we? Playing, you know, Sarcevic and Camps and stuff, who are playing lovely football, but this fellow would rather see it just smashed way over them. So there's I think he'd like that John Smith style of football, yeah. But yeah, that's so the send it can get in the reses, and also one that's a bit sort of odd, I think, and only annoys me is when defenders clap the linesman for giving offside. I don't know if we've ever had that one before, but I don't know why it winds me up particularly. Yeah. I know it's quite niche. But I'm trying not to sound like Roy Keane, but it is the job, isn't it? It's literally the job. So they're just the little sort of like one of them. It's not even a real clap.
I know what you mean. Yeah, does that go in the reses though? It probably does. You know, well, we can all vote on it anyway.
Is it just them doing it, or is it them sort of? Is it a sarcastic clap that they've got one right?
I really don't know. I just think I don't even know why it really gets on my nerves. To be honest, it's totally irrational as to why it does get on my nerves. It even gets on my nerves when counter defenders do it, and we've got an offside.
Yeah. Did you ever do it as a keeper? Then did you ever clap a liner? As a keeper,
So I mean, to be fair, it was a novelty for me to play at a standard to have linesman, but there was usually a ref that was sort of 20 or 30 yards behind play, giving offside. I'd like to think, obviously, I was a young man then, so I feel like my sort of principles would kick in now if I ever did come out of retirement, which I've contemplated after digging out my old boots in the shed. last week. Sort of looked at him and sort of thought, I could still do a job for someone.
Still do a job. There you go. Yeah. Broken leg first game.
I might hang on a couple of years and get in a vets team somewhere.
Yeah. Have you heard that? Hang on a couple of years and get in a vets team. Jesus Christ.
I'd have to take a couple of years off to get in a vets team.
I love it. Yeah, both of those can get in the reses. Let's do it. Yep. Waggy, what's yours this week, mate? You got one?
Yeah, Scott Lindsay.
All right.
The Crawley manager, he can get in the reses. Watching the stream and stuff, he just seemed to be screaming. I know, again, Chandler said that him and Clint Hill seem to be having a running arguing match. The way that he threw his hands up in the air and went off his head when the Camps got the ball and thought it had gone out and the linesman didn't give it and he was effing and jeffing. Did he get a yellow card for that one or was it a different? Can't remember if he got one for that.
Can't remember. He did get a yellow card.
So, yeah, so for that. And then I don't know if you noticed at the end, he went on the pitch and confronted Pi.
Pi, yeah, I heard about that.
Went up and confronted Pi and Madden got involved and took Pi away because I think he was having a go about the free kick that possibly, well, their player went down when Pi put his arm out and it sort of tickled his nipple or something and he went down as if he'd been shot in the face.
That's another name for the podcast. Tickled the nipple.
Coming on and confronting players and having to go at players and stuff like that as a manager, you shouldn't be doing that. So he should have come out and, you know, said it in his press conference afterwards or whatever. He should have just talked about it then. You shouldn't be going on the pitch and start confronting players and having to go, and especially say, you know, he's only 20, 21 or whatever, isn't he? Pi. So it's just like completely unprofessional. So yeah, so he can get in the reses.
Yeah, it's very non-league, isn't it, to do that? Very unprofessional, yeah. Very non-league and very Bitcoin-y, wag-me sort of in it. So, fair dues. My getting rezzers is individuals that do this tragedy chanting at football matches and then just like ruin the whole football, their future football going experience. Because as soon as you do it and you get caught, you ain't going to a football match again because you are getting banned. So I don't know what goes through their head in the first place to do it. Whether it's rush of blood, whether it's alcohol, whatever. But bloody hell, it's bad enough that you're doing it, but also you're going to get banned for life, aren't you? That you know,
especially when you're isolated doing it. If you know what I mean, if you're in the, you know, as you say, if you're in the Stretford end for just as an instance and you start singing things like that, well, the whole Stretford end starts singing it. Or if you're in the cop and you start doing the same, then as you say, yeah, it's not right, but you get away with it. But if you're like, there's nobody within three rows or four or five seats around you and you're still
doing it
like that, then yeah, absolutely. You're gonna get pinned. I mean, that guy at Gillingham.
This guy came running across. It just doesn't. I don't know what goes through. Don't know what goes through their heads. But you know, the sad thing is, they're not going to be able to go to the football again. That's not the saddest thing about it, but that is an outcome of it. They're not going to be able to go to the football again and do what they love doing, and you know, for a moment of madness. And it's just like, why? Why, man? Jesus. That's...
And you say, yeah, everybody gets a bit, you know, you get het up and you get emotional and stuff watching the football, but that is where, yeah, you know that there's a line that as a sensible human being that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
I'm a sensible human being by the chance.
No. I mean, we're middle-aged men, aren't we? We're not sensible. We're still thinking somewhere, aren't we? Yeah, I mean, I've shouted at ball boys before, you know, because they're not passing it back quick enough or, you know, that kind of thing. But Yeah, that's my getting the reses anyway. And someone did ask before, what is getting the reses? What is reses? Reses is, and I think JK's put it out there, the reses is Sykes reses behind County. So getting reses. If we don't like something, get it in reses.
There was a belting one in the comments, one there about local residents sort of trying to block any planning permission at that EP, which is a jazzer.
Yes.
Belting one.
Yes. It's funny that, I mean, I started to watch the video of the person that was doing the reasons why the area needs protecting. And I'm going to watch the full video. It's about 22 minutes long. I didn't get to watch it all. So I'm going to form my own opinions on that.
Oh, yeah.
I nipped down to the consultation yesterday, actually. It was,
right. I would add that.
It looked really good. And he's, you know, he's clearly been very well thought out, and he's planning stages and that sort of thing. And I think there was a lot of local residents there at the time, and it all seemed quite positive, really, because it's going to benefit you know, Edgeley, Stockport as a whole. It's going to be a lot of job creation. Obviously, it's good for the football club. Should be good. There's not really many downsides. There's a bit more traffic every other Saturday, but all the benefits that brings, it's, you know, totally outweighs you know, having to get stuck in traffic for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I mean, I've heard something else as well. I mean, someone's just corrected me. It's the nature reserve behind the pop side, because there's a sort of area, and it goes into great detail about the areas as well. But overall, you're right. It's going to be a good thing, and traffic management is an issue as well that needs to be looked at. Somebody who lives on Edgeley has been doing the rounds on Facebook complaining about traffic management, and turns out this person's a City fan. As he let slip, so. Is it traffic management, mate? Is that what you're worried about?
Just he's still triggered by John Ardica, obviously.
Cool. Right, before we let you go, I've got one question for you, Tom. You've got to tell us about the Xmas card.
Oh yeah. Well, I was on a works conference, and it happened to be very close to Ebbsfleet when County were playing Ebbsfleet away. And there was about six or seven of us at this conference, and me and about four of us snuck off and went to watch County away at Ebbsfleet. And he was classic County at that time. County win 1-0 over Ash Palmer header. And we all, you know, we had a couple of pints, and we all put big on Ash Palmer to Ash Palmer first goal, County to win. And he came in, and basically everyone from the whole office won, you know, at least between 50 and 100 quid each. So we were sending out the corporate Christmas cards, and I said, oh, we've got to send Ash Palmer one, haven't we? So we sent him like a branded Christmas card and sent it into the club, basically from everyone in the business who've, you know, basically got their drinks paid for all evening courtesy of Ash. So
nice.
So yeah, I don't know whether it ever got to him. I just sent it to the club, so hopefully it did, but you know, you never know.
Nice. Yeah, you'd like to think he did, wouldn't you? You'd like to think he did.
I've just admitted on YouTube Live that I snuck off for 5 hours at work with them, actually.
Sure you've made that time up. I'm sure you've made that time up.
Probably, maybe, yeah.
I've given you a lifeline there.
I know, yeah. I've spent all week going through stats. I've done nothing this week yet. So, yeah, I owe a bit of time back, to be fair.
Nice, good story. I like that one. I like it. Cool. Right. I think we're out of time. We're way past my bedtime anyway. So what we'll have to do, Tom, we'll have to get you back on, talk about your football career and
all that. That's generous for us, to be fair. But yeah, you know, I'm obviously more than happy to come on and listen every week as part of me sort of build up to the game on a Friday or a Saturday. So, you know, it's nice. Pleasure to be on. So thanks for having me.
No worries. You're definitely welcome back on. Okay, so cheers for everybody for listening. Just a few things about upcoming podcasts. Obviously, we've got the Courtyard Club call, that is back on Monday following the MK Dons match. I've got a mental health podcast that's been recorded with Andy Nevitt. That's going to come out very soon as well. Plus, you will hear you'll see the MK Dons Oppo preview as well. I've got that ready to go. That'll be uploaded probably tomorrow morning now, because I'm a bit tired. So I'm going to get it all done in the morning. Don't shake your head at me, Waggy. Do not shake your head at me. Got to get up early in the morning, mate, for work.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That thing. Thanks to everybody that subscribes to us on Patreon. Your subscription is really, really appreciated. We've got over 60 patrons now, so that's fantastic. Cheers for that. If you want to become a patron, just go over to our website. You get all of our content ad-free, and you get it earlier than when they come out for everybody else. So it's a bit of a positive there. And you get discount on all of our Etsy store goods as well. Plus, you will get, what's the word, priority for any events that we do. So I'm going to be speaking to Benji and Basque on Friday about putting something on at Basque, maybe over the close season. And obviously the Jim Gannon event for the co-op, you will get a discount and priority on that as well for being a patron. So it is worth it amongst all the other things. Right, Waggy, Tom, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you. Tom, stay on. We'll be after and we'll have a quick chat. See you later, everybody. Yeah. Bye now.
No worries. The man from Uruguay is to the man from Uruguay.
It's the 90th minute, all your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.